You'll notice that we moved, we've been talking about the call to prayer, which is what I'm going to be speaking to you about this morning, a call to prayer. And we've moved our table here into the sanctuary. We have on the table a sign-up sheet for prayer. Our call to prayer for our nation is this coming Saturday, which is, of course, our July 4th holiday, July 4th, 2020. We sense the Holy Spirit speaking to us to stir our hearts for a call to prayer for the nation. So a call for righteousness to return to a nation is a divine call, a call for divine wisdom, a call for divine guidance and blessing on our nation. Proverbs 14, verse 34 states that it is righteousness that exalts a nation. Righteousness. It is not a strong economy. It is not a war chest. It is not free enterprise. It is not strong military might. It is not a certain political party that exalts a nation. But the Word of God is very clear that righteousness exalts the nation. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 12 through 12, the Apostle Paul gave us some very good advice about the battles that we have. He said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." With this scripture, the Apostle Paul is bringing us back to square one in our prayer. Square one is realizing that our conflict in life, whatever it is, and we're talking about the nation today, and that's going to be the crux and the main point of this sermon. But whatever you're battling in your own personal life, in your family, it is not a person. It's a spirit behind a person. Square one is realizing that our conflict is life if is not with circumstances. Our conflict is not with people who offend us or make us mad or annoy us or frustrate us or even treat us unjustly. In this life, we have to remove the mask. We have to take the face off of our enemy. We have to take the face off of that individual or that group or that entity. We have to remove that identity, and we have to know that they are being driven by evil spirits, led by Satan, who is our chief enemy. This is what Paul is saying when he reminds us it's not a man. It's not a political party. It's not a system that we battle. We're at war with demonic spiritual rulers, demonic authorities, a powerful hierarchy that's over this present darkness. This present darkness. The United States of America has been engulfed with a present darkness. And we, as the body of Christ living in this generation, have been called to do battle with this present darkness. You're in this generation. This is your season, and this is your battle. We, as the body of Christ, must engage with this present darkness. So, as I said, at the leading of the Holy Spirit, I've called a day of prayer on July 4th, 2020. This holiday is a most significant day in the history of the United States of America, because it was on this day, July 4th, 1776, that the Second Continental Congress adopted the pronouncement that we refer to as the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence was a pronouncement, or it was a decree, that the 13 colonies now declared themselves free from the kingdom of Great Britain. And this declaration paved the way for the formation of the United States of America. Today, as believers, we must declare again on this July 4th, 2020, that we are free from the tyrannical kingdom of evil, and we must push back against its aggressive campaign to destroy our nation. It's not a natural kingdom from foreign soil that threatens our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but it is a kingdom of evil which is eroding America away from within. And I am convinced if we remain passive in this battle, if we do not take our place in the fight, if we do not lift our voices in prayer and cry out to God for His supernatural intervention, that the America that we pass on to our children and grandchildren will not be the America we know today. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for the direction of your word. We thank you for this message today. I pray that the hearts of all of us will be receptive and open to what you're saying to us today. Open our ears to hear and our eyes to see what our part is in this battle. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was praying over this message today and asking God to give us scripture, and I want to remind you the YouVersion app. If you have that on your phone, you can go to YouVersion, go to the events, you can find Cornerstone, and you can find all of the notes, all of the sermon scriptures, everything for this sermon. You can pull it up and utilize it during the message, and then you must save it, though, if you want to refer back during the week to it. So just always forget to mention that, but it's a great tool. So as I said, as I was praying over this message and asking God to give us scripture to encourage us in this fight, He directed me to a King's Prayer, which is recorded for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now this account of the children of Israel, we've been preaching on the children of Israel and following them on their journey to the promised land for the last several months. What we're talking about today, it takes place many centuries after they've actually possessed the land. And so much has happened in their story to bring them to the place where we are today. But to shorten it a little bit for you, the kingdom of Israel, the children of Israel, they had so much disunity and so much apostasy and disobedience. What happened is they finally split into two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of Israel ruled by their king, and there was the kingdom of Judah ruled by their king. And now chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles records this period of time where Judah is ruled by a king called Jehoshaphat. Now, from this point forward, I'm just going to refer to him as King J, okay? Because I don't want to stumble over that name every time. King J. And as this chapter opens, this king has received some very disturbing news. Enemies have aligned together against him from three different nations. Three different nations have come together, and they are marching against this little outpost, this little kingdom of Judah. And it is a great multitude. And they are already, this verse 1 and 2 of this chapter tells us this, they are already in a place called En-Gedi, and that is right on top of King J and his kingdom. Now, what's interesting that Scripture records for us here is that these enemies, these nations, have advanced to the kingdom of Judah by a little used route. They're coming up from the south. So what they're doing here is unprecedented. Out of nowhere, this enemy has come. It's unheard of that it would come from this direction. It's blindsided them. They've never experienced this type of threat before. Do any of those terms sound familiar to you today? Unprecedented, out of nowhere, blindsided. This is the earthly reality What's happening in the natural? This is what's happening in King Jay's kingdom. But Paul's words in Ephesians, remember we just read? Paul's words in Ephesians tells us there's always a spiritual reality that we must keep at the forefront. Evil is always warring against righteousness. Evil spirits have stirred up the hearts of these leaders of these nations, and they are marching against the righteous kingdom of Judah, and they are bent on destruction. Judah has a righteous destiny. Judah has a righteous purpose that has yet to be fulfilled in this time period. Judah is the tribe of worship and praise. And it has been foretold that Messiah will come from the tribe of Judah. So evil is determined to destroy that righteous destiny, the destiny of the Messiah. The agenda for evil, can I tell you, has not changed. Whether it is 852 BC, the time that's in our scripture, or June 2020, the agenda for evil has not changed. The fight in this country that we're engaged in is for the destiny and purpose of our children and the generations to follow. Our grandfathers, our fathers, we ourselves, we have lived in a free America. No, it has not been a perfect America, but it has been an America with democracy and freedom where we have been able to make choices. It's been an America that has sent to the world more missionaries, more humanitarian workers, more aid to the poor and impoverished nations, more disaster relief, more compassion resources than any other nation in the history of its existence. That's the America that we have been blessed to live in. But what about the America of our children and our children's children? What is that going to look like? If we don't engage in the spiritual battle for Lady Liberty, I'm certain the America as we knew it will not exist. Now, God's plan for the ages, His plan is going to be accomplished. Nothing can stop the plan of God. He already has written in His word a plan for the ages. There is already a plan set in place for the return of Jesus Christ and things that are going to have to happen and nations that are going to be a part of that. That plan is already set in place and nothing can stop that. But let me tell you this, He does not need America to work His plan. He's proven that in His word. He's proven that. When people were not available to work His word, He used donkeys. He's used ravens. He's used fish. He used mud from the ground. And if America is not willing to be used for His glory, He will raise up powerful believers in other tribes and tongues and nations all over the world that are willing to be submitted to Him. We can't allow ourselves in the American church to be so arrogant to think that His word cannot be accomplished without us. Yes, it can. But we want Him to continue to use our country. We don't want America to end up as the scripture talks about the tragedy of gaining the whole world but losing your own soul. So for that reason, for the sake of the generations following behind us, we must engage. We must fight in prayer for our nation. In our scripture, this scenario of enemies that has amassed against King Jay feels familiar to us. In the first half of 2020, it seems we've just been waiting for the other shoe to drop. What's going to be the next catastrophe that comes upon us? Enemies had joined together against King Jay, and enemies have amassed against America as well. One army against one army could probably be manageable, what we would call a fair fight. One crisis at a time, we can all pretty much manage that with God's help. But three strong enemies aligned together, that's a difficult challenge for King Jay, and it's a difficult challenge for us today. Between the 2020 political circus we've watched, between COVID-19, the crushing of the economy, social injustice, and unrest, 2020 has not given us a moment to take a breath. But what is making our culture, what is making our nation so vulnerable to these challenges? I mean, think about this. Our nation has had difficulties before. You can think about them in history. We've had great challenges. We've had the Civil War, the World Wars. We've had diphtheria outbreaks. We had the Spanish flu. We've had the Great Depression. We had 9/11. All of those are great challenges. So what is different now in 2020 that is causing us to falter so as a nation? I believe it's many things, but two major things. I believe it's the absence of two foundational pillars in culture. Number one, the morals of past generations. The morals of our fathers and our grandfathers are gone. People used to decide matters based on morality. Even if you were not a believer in Christ, you were a good person. You had morals. There was a strong differential between what was right and what was wrong. And everybody knew what was right and what was wrong. They had morals. But that differential, that line between what was right and what was wrong, that has washed out to sea. And morality has totally disappeared, even in the church. The other foundational pillar that has eroded away is common sense. Where has common sense gone? The opinions, the ideas coming from society, from people, are so ridiculous and they are so extreme that you know, you can discern that common sense has given way to an evil, lying spirit of deception that is controlling the mentality of the people. Without strong morals and common sense, we have handicapped ourselves as a nation. New and familiar and unfamiliar enemies, new tactics, new schemes of the enemy that we've not faced before can cause us to fear. And many believers in 2020 have felt fear and dismay because of new enemies. In our scripture, it states that King Jay, when he received the word about this amassing of enemies coming against him, he was afraid. You know, God knew that we would feel fear. He knew it would be so prevalent to his children that his most repeated command in all of the word of God is, fear not. Don't be afraid. The people that count those kind of things say that fear not or don't be afraid is mentioned or commanded in the Bible 365 times. 365 times in the Word of God it says, do not be afraid or fear not. When King Jay was afraid, he did not give in to his fear, but he turned his face toward God, and he called his people to prayer. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3 and 4. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. I love that scripture. He set his face. to seek the Lord. He set his face with diligence and determination, without distraction, without delay. He turned his face toward his God. He knew that if help was coming, it was going to come from that direction. What's also so encouraging about this scripture is the support and the unified effort that he had from the entire kingdom. It says all the people of the nation from all the cities came to Jerusalem to fast, to seek the Lord, and to pray corporately for their nation. Unity of a nation, of a people, is a powerful force. But unity is a powerful force for good and for evil. The nation is struggling. America is struggling because it is so divided. The church can't pick up traction. We can't pick up momentum because the church is so divided. I'm talking about the universal church is so divided. The threat of destruction united King Jay's kingdom. Could the threat, I'm praying that the threat of the American way would unite the American church. I pray so. A Jewish tradition believes that Ezra the scribe wrote the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And I'm so thankful that Ezra was so intentional about his purpose, and he recorded the king's prayer here in this scripture, because we can use it today as a guide for our prayers as we go into this week and on our day of prayer on July 4th, 2020. I'm not asking you to assemble here at Cornerstone. I'm not asking you to even fast that day. I'm asking that you participate 30 minutes. We've broken it down into 30-minute segments, and that sometime during the day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., sometime that you will turn your face to God on that holiday, and you will cry out to God for our nation. We put the sign-up sheet. It's twofold. It lets us know that the whole day will be covered, and it also is a commitment. I pray when you write your name on that piece of paper, you'll be committed to that time segment. And you, I know there are segments on there that have already been taken. That's fine. If that's still your preference, just sign your name right over that as well. We're going to read his prayer, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 5 through 12. We're going to read all the way through it, and then I'll make some comments about it before we close. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, and this is his prayer, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they've lived in it, and they've built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and we will cry out in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do. but our eyes are on you. What powerful words from this king. Now, we don't have time to look into King Jay's life in great depth, but I can tell you right now, he was far from a perfect king. He made some poor decisions in his reign, mainly regarding who he chose to align himself with. And that's a message all in itself that we don't have time to get to today. But the point is, he was not a perfect man. He was not a perfect king. But King Jay knew who to call and how to call when his kingdom was in distress. And that was all that mattered in this moment. So number one, and on the back of your bulletin too, if you picked up a bulletin, there's some applications that you can take with you through this week, points to pray through. Number one, in his prayer, King Jay recognized God's supreme authority and power. He said, God, you reign from heaven. You reign over all the nations of the world. You are the supreme power. You have power over all people. God, you have power over all spirits and all situations. And nothing or no one is able to withstand your power. Likewise, when we pray this week, we declare those same things. God, you are absolute authority. No one can stand before you. You reign over every system and every person and every nation. Every evil agenda, every assignment that has been amassed against America cannot withstand against the power of our God. And that you plant yourself in that position as you start praying. It is a place to put your feet, a foundation of praise, praising God for his supreme authority, and a position of faith that he is supreme over all. Number two, King Jay declared God's covenant. God's covenant. God gave the people the land. He covenanted with Abraham. He reminded him that, remember Abraham? He was your friend. He reminds God of that. And God has been faithful. And he says, you drove out the nations before us and you fulfilled your promise to your friend Abraham. And you gave his descendants this land as an inheritance. Likewise, we can pray, God, you raised up America through the faithfulness of our founding fathers. They believed in you. In the Declaration of Independence, they referred to God as the supreme judge of the nations. They referred to him as the divine creator. They referred to him and asked for the protection of divine providence when they wrote that document. They believed in him. And God, you can pray, God, you have shed your grace over America. You have brought her through hard seasons by, in the past, raising up voices of righteousness and integrity and wisdom. And the nations of the world have been blessed to receive the gospel of the kingdom through America's generosity. And we can speak that and declare that and pray that, his faithfulness. Number three, King Jay declared that in that place, that temple that had been built, it was a place that was dedicated to God's presence and to God's name. They were standing in a temple that Solomon had built. It was a temple for God. And when it was built on that dedication day, God had come in and he had filled that temple with his presence in such a way that the priests and the king, they could not even stand in the temple on that day because the glory of God was so great. And this is where King Jay is praying from that day. He's standing in this temple before the presence of the Lord and before the name of the Lord. And he's standing there and praying. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, he wrote that as believers, not Americans, As believers, not as Americans, not as white people, not as black people, not as Hispanic people, not as any other ethnicity, but we can stand before God because we are a blood-washed people, and we are now the temple of God. And God's presence dwells in us. And His name is upon us. And it's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so we pray that His presence will continue to be poured out in us. We're not praying His presence be poured out in a physical temple. We want His presence to be poured out in us. Because if He will pour His presence out in us, then everywhere that we go, we can pour His presence out on others. We can be salt and light. We can be righteousness. And His presence poured out in us will overcome darkness in our families, on your street, in your neighborhood, in our community. We are now His temple. Number four, He says this, repent. Repent. And he prayed some of the prayers of Solomon when he stood that day. He recited Solomon's words from the temple, from the day of dedication. You can go back to 2 Chronicles and read chapter 6 and 7, and you can read the account of Solomon and his prayer. And King Jay recites some of those words. Solomon prayed on that dedication day that if a day ever came where the nation was disobedient and they faced consequences such as defeat in battle or famine or drought or pestilence came upon them because of their disobedience, if they would come back to this sanctuary and if they would turn their face toward heaven and if they would repent, God would hear and heal their land and save. Can I tell you that God's ear is still bent towards a people who are willing to come to Him in humility and repentance? He is still long-suffering. He is still slow to anger. His mercies are new every morning, and He is gracious to save. He is not willing that any should perish, but He wants all to come to Him in repentance. Number five, King Jay appeals to God, the righteous judge. Will you not, he says, will you not judge evil? King Jay says, see our enemies, they're coming to take from us the very inheritance you gave us. The enemies of righteousness right now are amassed against us to strip from us the inheritance that God has given us. They have amassed to strip from us joy, the inheritance of life, liberty, and freedom, and everything God gave us. King Jay said, will you not restrain the spirit of destruction and turn back their evil plans upon their own heads? I have prayed that many times in the last few weeks and months. Will you not, God, turn back the evil plans back on their own heads? The last one, King Jay acknowledges the nation's complete dependence on God. He said, we cannot help ourselves. We are totally dependent on you. The psalmist wrote, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. We say the same today. We cannot help ourselves. The problems are too complicated. The issues have been formed by year after year after year of bad policies and wrong choices. And it's not something that any person or party or any individual can step in and just fix. We need supernatural wisdom. We need supernatural counsel. We need the Holy Spirit. We are totally dependent on Him. If there is to be any help for America, it will have to come from God. There's no political party. There's no presidential candidate. There's no Supreme Court. There's no other entity that can turn back the enemies of this nation. God alone is our only help. As King Jay stated in verse 12, we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Verse 13 says, meanwhile, and while he was doing that praying and praying this prayer, meanwhile, all Judah, you need to take in the gravity of that statement. All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. These are family units standing before God together. They realize that it's more than just about me. I might live another 40 years, but I've got a 3-year-old granddaughter. I need for God to move now, or it will not matter. They stood as a family unit thinking about the generations following them. This is where we are today, and I'm asking you and I'm pleading with you, actually, standing up here in all my sweat. I am pleading with you, actually, to stand with me, to stand before God on this day, July 4th, 2020, with your family and cry out for our nation. And it's not just a one-day event. You need to be continually, you need to start today if you haven't been, but you need to continually be crying out and crying out and crying out and involve your family, involve your children, stand together just as they did with their family. As you celebrate this great holiday coming up this week, I pray that the Spirit of God will stir your heart to gratitude and thankfulness to God for His gift of America to you. I pray that with every activity you've got planned, with every bite of food you're eating, every scoop of Bluebell, I pray that with every firecracker you're going to light and every patriotic concert that you're going to watch, whatever you're doing, I pray that with each activity, God will grip your heart with a spiritual urgency of intervention, that you will step in to that gap for your nation, for your children, for your children's children. I want to close with verse 4 of the Star Spangled Banner. Some of you maybe don't even know it had more than one verse, but there are four, and this is verse 4. Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power, with a capital P, praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause, it is just. And this be our motto: in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Will you stand with me this morning? Oh, Father, Father, we love you and we are so grateful for the life that you have given us, for the blessings of living free and democratic society, a place where we have choice. We can make our own choices. But God, you've stirred our hearts, and we know that it can change what we thought would never happen, what we thought we would never, ever see. We are seeing, God, ludicrous ideas, comments, tearing down not just the fabric of a nation, but even righteousness and your kingdom. Father, I just pray that the words that I've just simply tried to share this morning will resonate deeply in our hearts, God. God, we know that you have a supreme plan for the ages, and we know that that plan is going forward, and we don't fear. We trust you because we're your children. And whichever way America goes, we're still your children. And you are going to care for us. We still have a hope and a future because we are your children. But we want a righteous America. And we want to continue to be in the place to bless other nations, to spread the gospel everywhere, to tell of your goodness. Lord, I just pray over this people today as they go into this week, God, and I pray that your presence will continue to hover, that your word will continue to remain strong in their hearts. I pray as they come up on the holiday, Lord, that they'll set aside some time, even if they don't put their name on a paper, Lord, but they'll set aside some time to cry out for this nation. I thank you for that. With your head continued to be bowed, I didn't speak an evangelistic message today. We were concentrated on another direction, but we never like to close our service without speaking to you here in the sanctuary and you at home. Do you know Jesus? That's the first step. It doesn't matter ethnicity. It doesn't matter where you were born, who you were born to. What matters is that you're born again. What matters is that you belong to Jesus. Is there anyone here in the building and you're not sure about that position? You're not sure that your citizenship, your eternal citizenship, is in heaven? If there's anyone in the building today, would you just lift your hand? We want to pray for you. Anyone at all? You want to make Jesus your Savior today? We're going to pray this prayer. You that are watching at home, we want you to pray with us as well if you don't know Jesus. Just pray with us. Dear Jesus, I know that I need you. My only hope for eternity is in you. I ask you to come by your Holy Spirit. Cleanse me of every sin. I repent. I humble myself before you. And I ask you to wash me with your precious blood. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can go forward making right choices, living righteously for you. Thank you, Father, for taking me from slavery to sonship. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.